Welcome to 74 Escapes new podcast series, Breaking Bread with Vera Lulu. I'm Vera, and I will take you on a gastronomic journey to explore food as an expression of cultural identity. I'll be hosting chefs and industry professionals from all over the world to discuss everything about this art form that really nourishes our souls. Let's start. Tom Halpin is an Australian-born chef focusing on local and unique flavor combinations. He has a keen fascination for cooking primarily over charcoal and looks to traveling for inspiration. Tom was sous chef at Noma, a restaurant in Copenhagen that has held the title of the best restaurant in the world for 4 years, three of which were during Tom's tenure. He also competed in and won Iron Chef Thailand, after which Tom spent 2 years traveling and cooking in as many different countries as possible to gain knowledge, before opening his own restaurant, Foreigners in Moscow. He has been exploring the vastness of Russia's landscape, learning about local ingredients and technique, owning his skills as a chef, and truly being able to translate his cuisine in any foreign setting. And today I'm so honored to welcome my friend Chef Tom to this edition of Breaking Bread. Hello, Chef, how are you today?
Good, I'm good. I feel a lot better when you read that to me. It makes me sound good.
Why Russia? What brought you here?
Well, there was a few things. The energy was the first thing which caught me when I was here, you know, because, I mean, you come here from Australia and you don't really know what you're walking into. And, everyone just really loved the idea of a foreigner kind of being here cooking food. And I just fell in love with that, you know. It was, everyone received it really well. And, the ingredients I realized were some of the best in the world. So that was, that made things easier. And I guess the hospitality scene now it's evolving so quickly. So I thought it was something special to be a part of that, you know, especially in such a young stage.
What ingredients do you specifically really love about Russia? What are your favorites?
Wild strawberries. Like right now you can eat them by the, well, like little old ladies sell them on the side of the road, as I'm sure you've seen, in those little plastic cups, you know, and you can like buy them for like $2 and you just eat them by the handful. But I mean, all berries and nuts and mushrooms, you know, it's especially coming from Australia where there like is not really any seasons, you know. Obviously you have summer and winter, but it's all kind of the one thing. And then you come here and the seasons are so extreme, but with that extremity, you get these like amazing products that are like only available for maybe 1 week, but they're the best things you've ever seen, you know? So it's cool. Very different, but cool.
I remember picking wild strawberries in Russia by handfuls and it was so incredible. And after moving to the United States and now, you know, when I go to London and going to Harrods and looking for like this small and it's 14 pounds, like, wow.
Crazy. Yeah.
I actually have them growing on my balcony right now. I have two little pots of wild strawberries. It's really not sufficient, but they're just so amazing.
It's cool. And actually the fun part was when you go into the forest and you go pick them yourself. And there's like little babushkas in there with their like, you know, 10-year-old kids or like, you know, grandkids walking around with like the mushroom boxes or, you know. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating, huh? So when did you really start becoming interested in food?
Oh, well, it wasn't straight away. Like it definitely wasn't straight away. My mom was a great cook and she's worked in restaurants her whole life. So when mum and dad split up, actually, it was funny because that's when I kind of realized like cooking, you know, because I'd go to mum's house and then she'd cook nice and dad would always be like meat and free veg, which is, but that's all right. But no, I mean, I started working kitchens for probably 3 or 4 years and it was more the intensity of the kitchens, which I really enjoyed, that competitiveness of, you know, who's not going to go down in service this time.
And, adrenaline rush.
Exactly. And I think it was when I moved to Copenhagen and actually like started, I know it's going to sound cliche, but when you start like picking your own products, you know, and you kind of go beyond the store-bought plastic wrapped shit that everyone associates with food and actually you go and you get it yourself and you start cooking it and you realize like how much better it tastes, and you sort of get a connection to it. And I guess that was the first time I truly really, I thought I was in the right, doing the right thing, you know, and started becoming a bit more creative with the food that I was that I was using. So
what other things really fascinated you about being not only in Noma, but, you know, Denmark in general?
Well, I mean, Denmark itself is it's like a bubble. I think Scandinavia is it's like nowhere else in the world, you know, the rules and the regulations. I mean, you joke about it. It can only literally work there. It's like the most it's like if you were to sort of have that utopian city, you know, like that's what Denmark's like. Everyone's riding around their bikes with like healthy families and looking nice and going to bed early, and everyone's working, and all the houses are like beautifully Scandinavian designed, you know,
per se.
yeah, exactly. I mean, it got a little bit too much for me in the end. I mean, I like a little bit more abrasiveness in life, you know, and
chaos.
That's why I like Moscow. So,
Moscow,
but I mean, it was great. And,
compared to
totally. No, it was special, and I mean, all of my closest friends are there, and I mean, it's my second home. You know, I try to go back as much as I can. And now Noma's reopened again, so I really can't wait to get back and take my girlfriend with me and show her everything that I've been talking about, you know, all these boring stories I keep telling her about Copenhagen, so I might be able to show her properly.
What was it like working with Renee?
You want the honest? No. No, it was awesome. It was a life-changing experience, you know. Obviously, there's a certain level of intensity that you have to keep to have the, you know, that title of number one in the world. But it's, I think it goes beyond that as well. It's that restaurant, it's the most progressive restaurant in the world. You know, it's like, it's a shame because in life we try to be, you know, we always want to put a number on things, you know, oh, number one, number two, blah, blah, blah. But I mean,
or the best. Quote unquote.
Yeah, they're the best, exactly, you know, but like that place has redeveloped itself, and in doing that has like literally redeveloped cooking, you know, like on a world level multiple times, like, and not just like, I know El Bulli was the benchmark always, and
revolutionary,
like, yeah, exactly, but I mean, Noma's done that, and in my opinion, like three or four times over, you know, it's like it was the farm that, like, that foraging movement, you know, appreciation of where your food's coming from. And then it starts, now it's like the fermentation. And it's just like, there's so much stuff that, they're doing.
Yeah, he keeps moving and then the pop-up in Mexico, which is...
Yeah, I mean...
Because how many people can really pull that off?
Exactly. And like, and it's actually amazing to eat, you know, obviously... To work there in one of those, you know, those fragments in time, it's almost like, you know, before they started doing all the traveling, before all this, I mean, now it's such a different machine, that place. And but to keep going back and eating and staying in touch with all your friends that are still working there, I mean, it's amazing, you know. It never, I don't know, the guy just never gets tired of working, I think.
By the way, have you read the book by Jeff Gordinier, Hungry or Noma?
No.
Fantastic.
I haven't.
Such a great read.
Yeah?
Really, big time, I recommend it. He's a fabulous writer, and he writes about his time traveling with Renee, and it's just such a beautiful book. I'll send you a copy.
How old is it? Yeah, send it to me. Yeah, American Post to Russia. Fucking, I'll get it like next year, I think.
You will never ever get it.
Yeah, I know.
So tell me about your latest project in Moscow. What are you up these days?
Well, so I mean, before Corona got its claws into the world, I was resigning from my project Foreigners, which was amazing, just different directions. But I mean, it was such a cool project. Really, it just got so crazy so fast. You know, we had this like bar on the top floor and with the restaurant, and it just started becoming like it got too full. And I think from that, it kind of pushed people that wanted to come and enjoy the food, you know, it started becoming branded so much of a party place and all that. So yeah, I mean, I decided to go another direction, and I've been doing takeaway food from my own house, which was super funny actually. I really kind of fell in love with cooking all over again, because it was like it just took everything else away, and I was just
and you're home, so you're comfortable. There is, you know, no pressure.
Well, I mean it was, yeah, there was, well, no pressure in a sense, but I mean it was more personal, because the thing was that everyone that was ordering, I mean, I would have to I would take the orders, you know, I'd make the menu. So every weekend it would change. It would be like, it would be three days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it would change each night and then change each week, you know. So I'd make the menu, then I'd have to like promote it and send it around, and then I'd take all the orders, take all the payments, then I'd have to go to the shop. And I actually got like a permit from my girlfriend, because at that point the whole of the city was locked down, so you couldn't leave your house. So I had like a permit on my phone, so if they asked, I could like use the permit. So I'd use that and go shopping at like Metro, come back to the house, and then cook it, you know. But it was like, it was so personal, because everyone that I would like sell it to, you know, they'd like message me back saying, oh, they really loved it. And I just started like, I realized that there was like, you know, it kind of like, it scraped a lot of the lining back from cooking, you know, because in the kitchen, you always hear that people talking about like you're trying to do too much, and it's when they kind of like, you know, they take it back a few notches that they start to understand that it's more about like the cooking side of it, you know, like the love of cooking. So yeah, it was fun, and now that city's opening up, I mean, it's crazy now. Like it's like there's just the Moscow is so packed of people now. Like everyone, as soon as the lockdown lifted, everyone's around. So yeah, people that I was speaking with about opening this new project, we're talking again. And yeah, hopefully, I mean, in the next couple of months, I'm not trying to jinx anything, but I should have something else to show the world. Maybe two things, let's see.
Do you feel like, I think that most restaurants that actually will, I don't want to say benefit, but will retain, you know, stay afloat is a, if you have outdoors terrace and you can keep distancing, and because Moscow is so spread out, you do have a lot more space than you do in London, in New York, where there is so not much outdoors. Paris is always Paris, but Moscow can still survive post-COVID.
Yeah, well that's the thing. I mean, yeah, it's just, but the thing is, like, you know, Moscow, it's like, there's only summer for like 3 months of the year, you know, and every restaurant in the city, like it has a terrace, because it knows if you don't have the terrace in summertime, like you can make enough revenue in that for like almost the whole year, like just in those 3 months. So it's really funny how it kind of fell just when summer was like, the curfew is lifted when, well, the lockdown's lifted when summer kind of started, you know, and it was just like everyone's everywhere, like Patriarchy Ponds, it's like a mosh pit from 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, like it's pretty full on. But in saying that as well, I mean, now that I'm looking for new spaces, there's a lot. Unfortunately, there are a lot of restaurants that have closed, and every day you see more and more, you know, getting posted up on Facebook and stuff. So.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, every day I wake up to news of a restaurant closing in Paris or London or somewhere else. Or the opposite. I spoke with my friend Bruno Verjus, you know, Table by Bruno Verjus in Paris. And his restaurant is doing super well. And I think I'm so happy for him. And as much as restaurants rely on the foreigners, there is still a local crowd. So there is a different approach to the customers at this point. So before it was mostly foreigners, and now you actually have locals coming in and eating more and enjoying and appreciating. So it gets the revenue going.
Totally.
And it's great to see, because every day you worry for your friends who run the restaurants and the chefs, and some days you have bad news, some days you have good news, and it's COVID has had its impact. I hope Moscow will keep blossoming.
Oh, I mean, let's see. I mean, it's gonna keep blossoming, like, literally for probably about another 6 weeks before it starts snowing. No, I don't know. It's probably not snowing, but it will. I'm sure. I mean, it's so crazy. Look at, like, Australia right now. Like, my mum, I grew up about an hour north of Sydney in this, like, nice little, like, coastal beach town, you know. And my mum's restaurant says it's, like, the busiest. I mean, it's a very busy restaurant anyway, but she's like, it's the busiest it's ever been. Like, it's, like, insane. Like, she has a waiting list for a week now, which is, like, a small surfing town. Like, that doesn't even exist. And then you've got the other side, like, Melbourne just reclosed all their restaurants. Just closed everything yesterday. So it's, like, it's crazy. I mean, it all depends on... even if it got to that point here in Moscow where it was like, okay, they're going to have to close again. I don't know if they will, because people are just like, I don't know if you could close this whole city again, because it's just too many people have no money, you know, then it's and the government's doing nothing about it. So whatever.
By the way, what kind of food is your mother cooking?
She has, it's like Australiana Italian, you know, like there's like pizzas and then, it's more like a tapas antipasti kind of place with pizza, which is like the ultimate combination for living by the water, you know. Like, it's just nice enough so that you can, like, take your girlfriend out, you know, for, like, those the people that have just finished school, you know, and you've got your high school date, you want to take out on a nice day. It's like that kind of vibe. It's good. I mean, it's nice. It's super tasty.
Okay, Tom. So before we wrap it up, do you see yourself staying and live in Moscow? Is there another city you really want to conquer and just take over?
I mean I'm gonna be here for a little bit for sure, definitely. My girlfriend's in the next room, so I need to make sure she understands that I'll be here. I don't know, there's plenty of places that would be nice, you know, and like Bahamas was a cool place that I was there one time, and you know, there's many. I mean, Ibiza, I've always wanted to try and do something. I mean, I just want to go somewhere where there's water. I mean, when you grow up next to the ocean, you get so used to having that salt water in the air and being able to just go for a quick swim in the ocean when you've got like 5 minutes spare. And yeah, I guess that's the biggest thing that I miss here, just surfing, you know. So if I was to go somewhere else, it would sort of have to have all that in there. But I mean, to be honest, the longer I spend away from home, the more I feel like that's the place I will end up, you know. So I think definitely a few more years here and then back home to settle down and get my feet in the sand, you know.
Tom, do you have any collaborations that you might do in the future with the local chefs? What are your thoughts on
that? You know, the crazy thing I've got coming up, these events, it's going to sound so wild, but I mean, amongst all this chaos, everyone's not knowing what to do, and these guys contacted me about this. It's like a dinner event, and they put it up on like a crane, so you're like 20 meters in the air or 30 meters in the air, and you're cooking like, it's in St. Petersburg and in Moscow, but they're like right in these really nice areas where you're like sitting above all the beautiful landmarks and stuff. So that's coming up, and then I don't know. It depends on the situation with the new spot, if it's where we want it to be, then I'm probably going to do one more event here, and possibly if the borders open up, maybe something in Norway, but let's see. I kind of like doing nothing.
I think everybody's living on a day-to-day basis.
It's crazy. Every day
it changes. I'm so devastated over the fact that I cannot travel, cannot eat. My holidays are ruined, and I've been stuck in the US for the last 6 months. But what you mentioned previously about the dinner in the sky, my dear friend and mentor, Chef Pascal, does do them in London.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's so cool. And personally, me, I'm also not afraid of the heights. If I ever had an opportunity, I would so do it. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, it sounds funny. I mean, you know, it's actually, I thought it was like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's a couple of these lifts, you know, in the day. It's like, it's actually, I did all the ordering for it today. And it's like 160 portions of food each day. You know, you're going up and down, up and down, up and down from lunch to dinner. It's actually a lot of work, but Yeah, I'm not scared of heights. That's all right. I think I'll be
okay. I love it. It's a challenge every day. I think when you're a chef, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow or what situations are going to be. I think you just take on challenges, and it's probably, like you said, it's adrenaline rush, and you just adjust to the situation and make it work for you. But that's what gives you, you know, a little oof.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, you've got to be flexible now. And that's what everyone, I mean, that I think that was the great thing about where cooking was going, because it was like, you didn't have to like work in that restaurant, work in this restaurant, then open up your own restaurant. You know, there's like so many other avenues that started to come from cooking. You know, you could travel all over the world and do all this stuff. And now this pandemic's hit. It's kind of like lucky that we were mentally in that position, because yeah, it sort of taught us to be flexible before, and now we have to be flexible to survive, you know, otherwise we're not going to have a job tomorrow. So
I personally think whether you're a great chef, but the whole mentality of being a chef is adjusting to a new situation day by day, day basis. And if you can't rock with it and roll with it and adjust and be open-minded, then you really, it's not just about you being a chef, but then you're a bit, you need to adjust. So I think it's a psyche and a personality that you have to just roll with it, make the best of it, adjust to it, deal with the stress, accept new challenges, new just new attitude. And COVID or no COVID, we live day by day on a daily stress and adjustments.
Yeah, totally, 100%.
I think that's just the psyche of the chef. So whatever other industries that are impacted, and fashion, unfortunately, everybody's so affected. But as a chef, you just have to roll with it.
You've got to roll it. So or at least eat enough to roll with it, yeah.
I completely think that COVID is it's a huge challenge for everybody. And I'm sympathize with everybody that got really destroyed by it. But as a chef, you're like, well, okay, so let me see how I can reinvent myself, and make it work, and do the best that I can do to make it work for me and for my team or whoever, and just try to do a different approach and make something, make the best of it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, even I felt like myself kind of tired almost, you know, because you're just going, you're in your head all day, you know, like thinking about what's going to happen, you know, because obviously you want to come out of this, like, you want to come out of this strong. I mean, I'm also a fortunate one who I don't have like a lot of money invested in something with, you know, into a restaurant or this sort of stuff. So, you know, I'm trying to work out, you know, how the best you can make the situation, you know, and some days it's like, you're kind of your own worst enemy in that sense. You just want to like lie down and not think about anything, but you know, it is what it is.
Tom, I really hope that I can get to my not only native country sometime soon and have a little shot of vodka and dine at your new project or do your home cooking. I'm so happy. You're such a joy to chat and catch up with you. It was so nice to make bread with you. And salute, and I see you very soon.
Thanks, Nadia. Good to see you.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.